I had intended on this broadcast of the Iowa blog to move back to our ongoing story of In the Garden so that we might better appreciate our future by looking at our distant past. But the conclusion of part four of Dode's song was so gripping, so emotional, so important for God's people. I want to return to where we left off in part four of Dode's song, with part five now of our program to bring to light the inspired instructions that are found in the 89th Mizmor, the greatest song ever written. It is about our Messiah and King, Dode. But not all of it directly, some of it indirectly, because as in the case of every king, he does not work alone. In the case of Dode, he will have a herald. He will have someone through whom he conveys his instructions and insights. And in this particular time, Dode has someone that Yahweh has assigned, that Yahweh has empowered, enlightened, enriched, emboldened, and enabled to reacquaint his Am family, his people, with their Messiah, so that they might capitalize on what he has done. Because Dode not only wrote the most important songs in human history, he not only united Yisrael, he not only established Jerusalem as its capital, he not only acquired the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah. Dode in his second life served as the Passover lamb, his body fulfilled Pesach, his soul enabled Matzah, and on Bikurim he became the firstborn son of Yahweh. And it is Dode who is returning with Yahweh on Yom Kippurim, October 2nd, 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem. In year 6,000 Yah, which is 2033, exactly 40 Yobel or 2,000 years after, he and his father fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim in 33 CE. But here's the rub. If it were not for Dode's herald, a fellow named Yada, there would be no one at the homecoming. There'd be no reason for Yahweh to return because there would be no people to return to. The first part of Teruah would go unanswered. There would be no ingathering of covenant members because no one would know the conditions of the covenant, the benefits of the covenant, or would even be celebrating Teruah correctly, instead be wallowing in the Babylonian New Year as Rosh Hashanah, if it were not for Dode's herald. So, in the midst of proclaiming the great roles and accolades attributable to Dode, the Son of God and the Messiah, Yahweh also calls our attention to the one who is reintroducing him to his people and who will make a personal sacrifice on Teruah after the harvest the following day to the backdrop of a solar eclipse. Yada, whose name is mentioned in this statement, will serve the Am family of God on Teruah by offering his life as the final uplifting sacrifice. And it is Elia who will be the master of ceremonies as the final debate occurs between Yahweh and the religions and political schemes that oppose him. That is what is conveyed in this passage and this refrain from Dode's song. And to my king, I would like to share it with you again. delighted to show the way because blessed. It is Ashri. It is the first word that I translated. It is the first word that Dode wrote in his first song. Happy to reveal the proper path to the relationship, to be treated favorably, are the people, Ha'am, the family, who are aware of and who acknowledge Yada, who are familiar and acquainted with, who learn about and comprehend, understanding the role that Yada will play. On to Rua. Trumpets. It is the fifth of seven Moed Mikre. It is a time to expose corruptions while sharing the truth, crying out an alarm while shouting for joy, blowing the shofar to announce the upcoming harvest of souls and Dode's return, who walk with the light into your presence, Yahweh. As I concluded the last program, I am not an emotional fellow, but this is very emotional for me, and it should be for you, because this is the final sacrifice that will bring Yisrael, the final remnant of Yisrael and Yahweh and his son, our Messiah, Dode, together again. This is the sacrifice of the Adama Parah as described in Numbers 19. Its effect will be to restore the adulterous woman so that she can be reclaimed by her king, Dode, as described in Numbers 5. It will rectify the horrible abuse expressed by Yehudim in Numbers 20 with their meltdown at the waters of Meribah. This is the path. This is the way. For the family of God, the Am of Yisrael, to reconcile their relationship with Yahweh at the cusp of his return. And the means to this is Yada. And I am Yada. I am the one who will offer my life as the Adama Parah on Teruah. And in so doing, with Eliyah serving as the master of ceremonies, reenacting his battle and debate against the religious and political establishment of Israel for the last time, but this time on the Temple Mount, with my sacrificial offering before a replica of the Tabernacle of the Witness, set on top of cedar planks with the Toabah set in to associate this with Dode's sacrifice on Passover, as described in the 22nd Mizmor. A torrent of water will be released from the foundations of the Temple Mount, just as Yahweh ignites the flame of a magnificent fire that will incinerate all who have come against God's people while refining those who remain. Fire is essential as a metaphor in this case, because fire transforms that which is dead, organic material, into light energy, which is precisely what Yahweh is offering his covenant family, enriching and empowering and transforming us so that we become as light. And these waters mixed with the ash will purify the mortal remnant of Yisrael as they wipe away and wash away all of her foes, transforming, terraforming, if you will, the land and the earth to the conditions experienced in Eden. Because in 10 days, Yahweh returns, and in 15, we enter the millennial celebration of Sukkah, where we camp out with our Father in conditions identical to those experienced in Eden. That is what's at stake here. But there's even more to the story. It's not just that Ashri was the first word that I translated, drawing me to Yah was testimony and the desire to accurately convey its message. And this is not only a sacrifice on behalf of Am Yisrael, God's people. This, the final act of Yada, as it is performed on Teruah, is for all of those who walk with the light into your presence. Yes, there will be flames that leap to the heavens at this moment. And yes, Yahweh's presence will appear in the skies above Jerusalem in 10 days. But the people who are benefiting on this day, a time that the sun itself is eclipsed on this September 24th, 2033, year 6000 Yah, are those who walk with the light into Yahweh's presence. I am also that light. You see, even in the creation account on the fourth day, Yahweh spoke of the roles that the two men who would serve as sacrifices on behalf of Yisrael during the Moed would play as a greater and lesser luminary to enlighten God's people regarding the importance of these Moed, restoring witnesses to the appointed meeting times, this one, Teruah. Dod is the greater of the luminaries. I am the one who reflects his light, and therefore the lesser of them. But that is ample light at this time to pierce the darkness, such that this mortal remnant of Yisrael is guided back to Yahweh. That Am Yisrael is the message of Psalm 89:15. But you can't capitalize upon it unless you come to appreciate how Yahweh is using Yada. You can't capitalize upon it unless you come to appreciate that the rabbinical interpretation and the Jewish cultural celebration of Rosh Hashanah is Babylonian, and that's the very thing you must leave. You must come to appreciate the actual meaning of Teruah. Let me share this with you. First, I'm conveying this, Miss Moore, from this book, Volume 1 of Coming Home. It's about Dod songs. There are three volumes. But as it relates to understanding the harvest, Shavuot, which will precede it, beginning at the beginning of the time of Israel's troubles, and Teruah at its conclusion that we're talking about, that God is talking about, and announcing in this context that prepares the final remnant of Yisrael for Yahweh's return with Dod, it is conveyed in this volume. Over 800 pages to explain to you exactly what you should expect, because you're being invited to walk with the light into the very presence of Yahweh. That is the purpose of all of this. Every book I have written, all 35 of them, all 10 to 15,000 radio and blog programs that I have produced or been a guest on over these past 23 years, are all for this purpose, that you come to know Yahweh again, that you embrace what your Messiah and King has done for you, and that you follow me as we walk into the very presence of Yahweh, our God. This is who we are. This is what we do. It is what we know. And the more we learn as Tarua's troubadours, the more we realize that we are not only following in Dode's footsteps as he fulfilled the first three Moedim, but we are also cultivating the Shavua and Tarua harvests while announcing our King's return with his Father on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations. And this is what we experience, especially when we are enlightened by Dode's Mizmor, many of which serve as the ultimate expression of Terua. This is what we learn from the lyrics and the life of Yahweh's Chosen. It is through the lens of Terua that we come to appreciate the balance shown in his writings between blasting away at lies and trumpeting the truth, both of which are needed when the mission is to lead Yehuda out of Babylon for the last time into Yahweh's presence. Over the course of the past 23 years, there have been many goosebump moments, emotional tugs at the heart, times in which we have found ourselves reveling in what we have learned. This is one of them. It affirms that we are delighted to reveal the proper path which leads to the covenant. We thrive on the realization that Terua precedes reconciliations. It comes at the end of the time of Jacob's troubles. We understand and we value Yada knowing what it is like to walk Ba'or Paneh with the light into the very presence of Yahweh. Everything I have written and spoken the past 22 years is an expression of Terua. I have striven to celebrate its purpose, honor its purpose. I have sought to shout out a warning boldly, bluntly, clearly, and loudly, telling all who would listen that their religious and political affiliations put them at odds with God, in conflict with God. Until you separate yourself from religiosity and politics, God is unknowable. He is unapproachable. At the same time, I have accurately striven to completely, as is possible, share what Yahweh had to say about himself, explaining what he is offering and expects in return through the most accurate and amplified translations of his testimony from the oldest sources ever written. But I don't just translate Yahweh's words and don't just explain. Put an etymological lens on each term so that you might understand its full impact. I provide enlightenment, making the connections so that you will understand how those words apply to your life. Now, this is the essence of Terua, the very reason we are asked to celebrate it on the first day of the seventh month each year, and this will be its final expression. There is so much more to trumpets. During its fulfillment, beginning at sunset on September 23rd of 2033, as the third of three Zeroah, I'm going to cultivate a gleaning of Yisraelites and Yehudim. At the same time, I will ensure the protection of a mortal remnant deliberately left behind, it says in the crags, which is the meaning of my name and the culture in which I was born. The following morning, while serving as the Adama Para, this man of the earth who has been and will continue to be productive and fruitful, my sacrifice will cleanse and prepare the remaining Yisraelites for Yahweh's return. This fascinating turn of events is described in the Kutsir Harvest volume of Yada Yawa that I showed you a moment ago. Also relevant, let us not lose sight of the fact that it was because of Asher in 2 Samuel 7 that I came to Yada know all of this. It is the Halak path that I have walked with the or light we were given into the very presence of Yahweh our God. Mizmor Psalm 89:15 has transitioned from comparing Yahweh to Dod to celebrating our calling and purpose on behalf of Father and Son and sharing with you how my final sacrifice will prepare you to live in their presence forevermore. One thing has led to another, because this is Yahweh's story. Since Yahweh has highlighted our awareness of Teruah, and since we have come to appreciate what it represents and, well, our role in it, I'd like to affirm its timing. Now, if you recall towards the conclusion, for those of you who have read with me through all of this, and I understand that's not the majority of you. In fact, I've made this transition from a full-time writer, the 35 books that are posted free on the bookshelf at yadayah.com, to spending most of my time coming into your home, becoming part of your lives, looking you in the eye, and speaking to you about what I have learned. Now, that's possible because I've spent the last 23 years studying Yahweh's testimony, writing about it, translating his words, contemplating their intent, and sharing the insights that have been gleaned as a result of this with you. And in one of those moments, in Volume 2 of Observations, I came to realize that Shavuah, would, which means the promise of seven, the promise of the Shabbat, would be fulfilled at the time Israel is thinned. This is made abundantly clear by the prophet Yeshaya in the 17th chapter, where Israel is going to be constrained at the waist in an ill-fated attempt to trade land for peace. And that's going to ignite the time of Jacob's troubles. This means that it will occur on the Shabbat of Shavuah, seven sevens, on May 22nd, 2026, which is 7 years prior to Yahweh's return with Dod. Then at the midpoint of the time of Israel's strife, on the first of Abib, April 4th, 2030, the two witnesses will arrive and begin their tenure proclaiming the Messiah's return from the Temple Mount. I will join Elia. This verbal confrontation with the political and religious elite, something that Elia is the best at in the history of humankind, will last 3.5 years, concluding at sunset during the evening of Teruah, September 23rd, 2033. And at this moment, those who have accepted the conditions of the covenant and who have capitalized upon the Mikre among the Yehudim and Yisraelites gathered in Yisrael will be lakat, gleaned, creating a river of light in Yeshaya's words, from earth to heaven. And that is when things get particularly interesting, because according to Yahweh, and as he foretold through Yeshaya, Isaiah, Zechariah, Joel, and Malachi, the final Zoroah, after cultivating this ingathering, will protect the mortal remnant of God's people who are left behind. Then, as the Mikre and the Shabbat of Yom Teruah continue, we enter a Saturday morning. As the sun rises on September 24th, to the backdrop of a full solar eclipse, the Zoroah Yada will ask his Malachim, his protectors, to stand down, those who have protected him. Now it will have been I guess, 32 years at that point. It's been 23 to now. And this is also that Satan, the corporeal manifestation of Satan, who will be in Jerusalem at this time, to orchestrate the demise of God's people. We'll meet him on the Temple Mount, overlooking the city of Dod, and he will bludgeon me to death as the Adam of Parah. You read the story of the red heifer, but Adam of Parah means man of the earth who is productive and fruitful. God's status purpose will be to cleanse his city and his people in advance of his arrival and prepare them for the ensuing family reunion. Now, just 10 days away, this grand spectacle will be observed by Elia as he reenacts much of what he did 2 millennia, 888. I'm very much vested in this story, so you'll excuse me if I trip on my tongue occasionally, recognizing what I'm offering. But Elia is reenacting the debate that he engaged in against the religious and political establishment of Israel 2 millennia, 888 years prior. This time following the precise instructions that are laid out in Numbers 19. This final solution to the Jewish problem as it relates to their antagonistic relationship with Yahweh is thoughtfully and thoroughly presented throughout this volume, Ketzir Harvest, Volume 5 of the Yad Yahweh series. I would invite you to read it. It is vital to your salvation. Interesting enough, we are afforded another clue relative to the timing of all of this in Mizmor 90. This song was composed by Moshe, and it speaks of Yahweh being the dwelling place for his people for all generations. In it, he quotes God saying, "Return, come back, children of men." This is followed by, "Indeed, our days have the appearance of your frustration. We spend our time muttering. The days of our years are 70, and then by reason of strength become 80, for it is soon past and we fly away." Mizmor 90:10. As it turns out, I will be 70 when I help cultivate the Shavua harvest, which is the promise of 7. And 7 years will remain, and I will return halfway through that period. And thus be, from this perspective, 77 on Teruah. "Who knows the extent of your frustration and respects your passion?" Mizmor 90:11. "So teach us to number and weigh our days so that we may derive wisdom by executing good judgment. Return, Yahweh, and let us breathe in relief." Mizmor, Psalm 90:13. In this series, which I am sharing, called Coming Home, this is Volume 1, which seeks to call all Yisrael, Yehud Dim as well, out of Babylon and back to Yahweh, to Dod, to Jerusalem, and to Yisrael, all began by pronouncing the third coming exactly 70 years after the nation of Yisrael was restored, making it possible. This was followed by, "How will you respond, being right, to Dod or not to Dod, and then to respecting Yahweh's name?" whether or not you accept the role that Yahweh has assigned to me as the Choder, sucker from the original root, or the Nakri, his observant foreigner, and whether or not these words are viewed by you as comprising his Nesh banner, which he says that he has promised to raise up for his people. Even if it is believed that Yahweh will somehow awaken another Goy, such that this same message will be proclaimed by him in time to orchestrate the desired results. The events presented within Yada Yahweh and the entire Yahweh branded series of books will materialize as foretold. And I will continue to serve between now and May 2026, and then again between April 2030 and September 2033, 85 years after Israel's rebirth. I will be at Yisrael's side throughout the worst of Jacob's troubles. We know these things because we are told as much in Mizmor 90 and throughout Yeshayah, Isaiah. For those who may be interested in the events of 2026, the new year will begin on a Thursday, March 19th at sunset. Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim will be observed on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning on sunset of April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Seven sevens later, seven sevens will commence on the Shabbat of May 22nd, 2026. This Katzer harvest will be of Goyim and Yehudim, as this day serves as the official start of the time of Jacob's troubles. At this point, only 7 years remain until Yahweh's arrival with his son and our Messiah. If not for the realization, the covenant children will be transformed into light and be given everything we need and want. I'd encourage God's family members to pack their bags and be ready. Immediately thereafter, Yisrael will struggle alone. Yahweh's final two witnesses, Yada and Elia, will not arrive until the first of Abib in year 5997, 2030, which isn't for another 3.5 years. And while they will overtly denounce the religious and political elite, while exposing and condemning Muslims and progressives, their primary focus will be awakening Yisrael so that Jews come home to Yahweh and embrace their Messiah. We rejoice because there is a vindication in getting Yahweh's name right. It is the first step towards the family reunion. Mizmor, Psalm 89, 16 reads, "In your name they rejoice every day, and in your justice and vindication by being right, they are lifted on high." Clearly, this is prophetic. Israel hasn't celebrated Yahweh's name, well, maybe ever. Even during the Exodus, as Moshe was up on Mount Choreb and came down with the tablets introducing Yahweh's name to his people, chiseled in stone, they were rebelling against him. And then when Yahweh said, "Moshe, I want you to gather all the children of Israel together. I want you to cleanse them and prepare them, just as Yahweh and I and Eliyahu will be doing for the remnant of Israel when they're reinduced to Yahweh 3,480 years after this moment." Yahweh appeared because he wanted the children of Israel to know for certain that he, the creator God of the universe, Yahweh, was inspiring Moshe with these words, with this leadership. And as he spoke to the children of Israel, rather than embrace him, rather than accept him, rather than celebrate his presence with them, rather than thank him for their liberation, and for the insights and instructions he was providing, and for the gift of the promised land. They told God to go away and shut up. That was 3,480 years ago. And Israel hasn't listened since. So it's been a very long time. And in that time, with the Babylonian effect, Jews literally erased God's name. They pushed it and him out of their lives. No one amongst the Israelites will even say his name. So I will tell you for certain, when we talk about rejoicing every day in the name of Yahweh, this is prophetic of the mission that God has given to me to reintroduce his name to his people. And in your justice and vindication, by being right, tzedakah, thus far we have been told on several occasions that Dod was right and thus vindicating tzedakah. This is the feminine of that. Because Zeruah is a feminine noun, as is Dod's nephesh soul who delivered our vindication by taking our guilt into Sheol, the place of separation, a black hole, and depositing it there and never to be seen again, leaving us perfect in God's eyes. And it is by being right that we are vindicated and lifted on high, because God is going to enrich and empower his children, enabling us to soar through the universe, to maneuver in time, to enter the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions. The first step we take to knowing Yahweh is to acknowledge and proclaim his name. It is where the path begins to being right regarding who he is, what he is offering, and how we should engage with him to avail ourselves of what he is offering. We do so without hesitation or equivocation. God's name is Yahweh. That is his only name. And if you want to be part of his family, it's long past time that you recognize that you embrace it, that you pronounce it. As he steps forward into Yahweh's light, the psalmist cannot resist including himself among those enveloped and adorned in the Almighty's radiant power. The next line reads, indeed, key, because the adornment, the beautiful appearance of their empowerment and fortification is yours. By your acceptance and approval, our brilliantly illuminated horn, Quran, is lifted up. For our deliverance and protection are from Yahweh. Accordingly, the Kadosh, set apart one of Yisrael, is our Malach King. 89:18. If you want to be adorned in Yahweh's light, the only way for that to occur is for you to accept what Dod and Yahweh accomplished for us on Pesach Matzen Bukurim. If you want to be present when Yahweh returns with Dod, just as Yahweh asked Moshe to prepare the people, you need to come clean. It's the role that the Adamah Parah plays at the end. Your acceptance and approval of our beautifully and brilliantly illuminated horn will be lifted up. Quran, do you know what that horn is? Are you familiar of when that word was used previously? It was introduced to us on Mount Moriah. Now, 4,000 years ago, when Yahweh told Abraham that he was not to take his son's life, because Yahweh would provide the lamb. And it was that lamb whose horns, radiant, beautiful, Karin horns, were then caught so that he was ready to be accepted. This is Yahweh's story, and it plays out in exquisite detail from beginning to end. The radiant horn now of Yahweh is the shofar, which we blow on Teruah. The shofar is actually blown both on Shavuah and Teruah, which are the two harvests that Yada has been asked to facilitate on behalf of God's people. And so from one horn to another, the fortification of Yahweh becomes available to his people. By your acceptance and approval, we are lifted up. For our deliverance and protection are from Yahweh. Yes, it was through Dod that Yahweh worked to deliver the benefits of the covenant, just as it was through Moshe that Yahweh worked to deliver freedom from religion and politics and to take his people to the promised land. This time, the deliverance and protection will be delivered by Yada. But it's all because of what Yahweh does with these people, the three Zeruah. It is Yahweh that is providing the benefit, working through these men. Accordingly, the Kadosh, or the Kadosh, the set apart one of Yisrael, is Dod. Full stop. Only one man deserves that title. This psalm is about him. That title is about him. Set apart one means the one who is distinct and separate from all others, the one who is prepared and dedicated, the one who is the most uncommon. And Dod is the most special, unique, and uncommon man who ever lived. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior. He was our King and will be our King. He was a profound prophet. He was a great orator. He is the most interesting man who ever lived. And he is, was, and will be our Malak King, our leader, our royal ruler and authorized authority. If you don't like Dod, you're not going to like heaven. Well, if you don't like Dod, you're not going to be in heaven, so I guess it doesn't matter. But if you want to be part of God's family and enter heaven and know what it's like to enjoy being under Dod's leadership and protection, under his guidance, then I'd strongly encourage you to get to know him, embrace him for all that he is and all that he has done. And just as he adorned his son, Yahweh adorns all of his children in a garment of light, enlightening, perfecting, immortalizing, and empowering apparel that is provided by the Ruach Kodesh, the set-apart spirit. It is how the imperfect appear perfect before God. It makes us acceptable. This garment of light not only delivers us safely into Yahweh's presence, but it also protects us in the here and now and throughout all time. So having introduced us to Teruah trumpets moments ago, we find God approving the brilliantly illuminating horn we will raise for the occasion, this instrument comprised of a ram's horn representing all that Dod is and has done for us is called a shofar. And its sound is so amazing that it reverberates within our souls. The Kodesh set apart one, serving as the Malak King of Israel, who, and Israel means individuals who engage and endure with God, of course, is Dod. He is Israel. He represents Israel, The best and the worst of Israel are embodied in Dod. And Teruah is focused on announcing his return as king, cultivating this day's gleaning, and then preparing the remnant left behind for the Messiah's impending arrival. And by affirming this, Dod gains another two titles not previously mentioned within the 89th Mizmor. And while most can relate to king and will view it as the most acclaimed title, being set apart unto Yahweh, Kodesh is by far the more important and infinitely superior. Over the long history of nations, kings have been a dime a dozen, but there is only one Kodesh, set apart one, acclaimed within the prophets. So Yahweh is telling us a wonderful story, and it is indeed a love story. Therefore, you spoke in a revelation to your Bakarim, your chosen and tested ones, saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable of men. I have raised up and exalted the Bashar, chosen one from the people. This is something that Yahweh has done for us. My producer has stepped out and grasp our shofar. This is a beautiful implement, a beautiful ram's horn that she is actually capable of blowing. And so I'm going to give Miss Leah the opportunity to do that very thing and to blow the shofar for us. Come over here, Leah, so we can hear it into the microphone. Can blow a shofar correctly. Its resounding sound is indeed beautiful. Now, if we could only get Leah on the other side of the camera as she blows the shofar and serves as a co-host, we will have made a great stride in reaching God's people. This particular passage, the last one that I have shared with you, is a great place for us to start our next program. And so we're going to part for the evening. We will join you again tomorrow. I wish you all the best. May Yahweh reach out to you, invite you into his presence, and may you accept answering him by name, listening to the sound of that shofar, embracing his son as your Savior, Messiah, chosen one and King. And may you benefit from all that Yada is prepared to provide with Yahweh's empowerment and advice along the way. I am Yada, Craig Wynn, and this is the conclusion of this part of the Yahweh blog. Good night.